The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall.
And welcome again, wrestling fans. Another episode of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast, episode 21. Jason Bryant here with you, joined today by Dennis Hall. He's flying solo from the World Wrestling Resource, a Greco-Roman world champion and Olympic silver medalist. Also joined on the call by Coit Cooper from Elite Level Sports Marketing, and he's got a book out called Impressions. You can check that out. It's a good read, Coit. That's a good read. And also joined again from the Wrestling Mindset is Gene Zanetti. And we've got a bunch of things to talk about today, but the focus of this episode is going to be about goal setting and building a championship lifestyle. And before we get to those topics, let's first introduce our panel again, Coit Cooper. Coit, talk a little bit about your background in wrestling, what you're doing now, and how you're looking to contribute to the sport of wrestling as a whole.
Yeah, Jason. Of course, I have a wrestling background. I wrestled in college at Indiana University, where I was an All-American in 2004, and then spent a couple of years coaching at Indiana as well when I was working on my doctorate. And the path I've taken now is I'm a college professor at UNC, but what I'm doing now, you mentioned the Impressions book, but working a lot with people on, just kind of pursuing their dreams. And a big part of that is the ability to set goals. And it's been really neat. I have what's called a 28-day growth challenge where I work with people on this process of setting goals and action items and just, progressing to be really efficient where you can achieve cool things. So, and I've had a chance to work with programs, which has been really neat. And what I want to give back to wrestling is not only in that area, helping people be more efficient, but in the area of branding and growing programs and having programs set their vision higher, to where we can really change the sport. So, those are some of the things I'm doing, I'm really passionate about, and love the area of goal setting. So that's just kind of in a nutshell.
And Gene, you've been on the show before. Let's just give the listeners a little bit of a recap of what the Wrestling Mindset's all about and what you and your brother Jeff do.
Sure, yes. We are mind check coaches. So what that means is we work with wrestlers one-on-one over the phone, helping them relax under pressure, pull the trigger, wrestle with confidence and have that killer instinct out on the mat. So the big thing is going through the worksheets with one of our mindset coaches, and you do a different worksheet each time you're on the phone. So it's physically training your mind, not just, you're not listening to some motivational speaker or therapist. What you're doing is you're actually training your mind by going through the worksheets and physically doing the activities. Just like, you actually lift the weights. You don't think about lifting the weights, you do it. You don't just think about drilling your moves. You don't just learn technique, you actually drill the moves. So it's a physical mindset training.
Now let's just jump right into the whole goal setting thing. I'm going to start with Dennis here. And with what we've got now, we've got a lot more resources than we used to. And Dennis, you're kind of always had that old school mentality and how you set up things. And when you were coming through starting your international career, what was the first thing you had to do to set goals? It might make sense to, we got to set goals. Well, you've got to do something before you set goals. What were some things you did as a senior level athlete to start setting those goals and then going to achieve them?
When I spoke on the senior level, I was 19 years old. This freshman year of college, I made my first world team. I remember wrestling at the U.S. Open at one, just turned 19 and ended up third. And when I took third place that year, I realized I qualified for the world team trial. So my goal was to win the world team trials right away. I changed my goal from just being able to compete at that level to making teams. And I think as an athlete, you have to strive for the best and you have to put things out there that are challenging compared to just, you know, going through the motions. I think a lot of times we sell ourselves way too short when it comes to setting goals. And I remember at the trials that year, I wrestled Anthony Amato, a good friend of mine, a great competitor. He had been on the Olympic team. And, I wrestled him in the best two out of three. Unfortunately, during the match, I lifted him and threw him, and he ended up tearing his, I think it was his ACL, and that was to get to wrestle the number two guy from Nationals. And as soon as I wrestled him and beat him, it just kept me going forward and believing that I could make the team. And for me, it was about having that confidence. And I think confidence comes from doing the work. I think you got to set your goals and you got to work hard to achieve them. But at the same time, your body and your mind knows what you put in there, what you're trying to accomplish. And you can't fool yourself. And I think sometimes people write their goals down and they try fooling themselves without doing the work, and that's never going to happen.
I want to jump over to Coit here, because Coit, in your career, we've had this conversation numerous times on how you beat a buddy of mine in the Fargo Freestyle Finals as a cadet way back in, I think it was 1998. And, you know, you're out of Washington, you know, having a chance to win, you know, the big stop sign on the race platform in Fargo. When you look back at your goals for that summer as a high school athlete, because we have a lot of high school athletes that listen to this show, and what were the goals that you had set to win a cadet national championship in Fargo?
Well, I mean, that was the goal. I mean, the goal was to win the cadet national championship. I wanted to be an outstanding wrestler. I mean, those are the things that I set out to do. And I was very fortunate at the time. I had a guy named Ron Bessemer, who was my coach, who was the best coach I ever had to this point. And he was really good about making sure that we wrote our goals down. And that not only that, we were doing visualization in practice, where it's not just visualizing yourself winning, but visualizing yourself warming up, you know, doing the exact warm up that you would do, going through the process of preparing the right way. And then just, you know, seeing those goals on a regular basis. You know, I think that's something that a lot of times people write them down once. And writing them down once is obviously better than not. But seeing them on a regular basis so you know what you're working for. You know, I know I was so focused for that tournament because he had us looking at our goals, visualizing. I knew when I was going into practice, you know, that I knew what I needed to focus on. And I was just very fortunate to have him. And then I went through different coaches where I didn't have that structure and I probably struggled a little bit because of it. Now I've taken that into my own hands, where that's just something I do on a regular basis, and I try to teach people that. So, you know, my goals were really clear. You know, it was something that I knew every single day. It wasn't something that I was fading away from. You know, when I was, you know, at school, I was probably thinking about, you know, doing well in school, but then getting home to where I could go to practice and prepare. And that was the best tournament I ever wrestled, you know, when I was there, winning the Outstanding Wrestler as well. So it's just the example of when you have clear goals and you work towards them. You know, I think like what Dennis was saying, I don't think we even know what we're capable of, but you start to tap into that and you're really focused with what you need to get done to close the gap on your goals. I mean, that's when you can really achieve some just awesome things.
You know, I've recently read some studies, and we're in a digital age, and I was recently in a Twitter discussion a couple weeks ago about the process of actually writing a goal down, not actually typing it up or typing it on your phone, but there's something about the retention rate when you write something down. Is that something you feel like, even in a digital age, that putting pen to paper actually makes this makes your goals more attainable because you're actually writing it down? You have to take the process. It's more than just mindless typing.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And you know, I love social media, but I'm not doing that on a computer. I mean, I have a journal for my goals, and I just looked today, and it's 300 straight days of writing my goals down. And you're right, there's studies on this. There's a study that was done on Yale a while back, and also Penn. Gene probably also knows this, but, you know, the 3% of people who actually wrote their goals down, they did a study over like a 10-year period of graduates, and it's not wrestling, but I believe it'd be the same thing. But the 3% of people who wrote their goals down and revisit them every single day outperformed the remaining 97%. And that's exactly what you're saying, Jason, not just writing them down, but you know, writing them down, getting to the point where you're writing them down from your memory, where you don't have to look at them from the day before. And really what this comes down to when you study this, it's really fascinating that, you know, we have a part of our brain that's called the subconscious brain, and it's actually probably the most powerful part of our brain. It's the one that kind of, it runs all the time. You know, when you're driving down the street and you all of a sudden 10 minutes later go, how the heck did I get here? Your subconscious brain got you there. And essentially when you're writing your goals down every single day, it's putting it in there for your subconscious brain. And your subconscious brain, without you even knowing it, will start to notice things, will start to look for ways for you to achieve them. And so that's when we get back to not even knowing what we're capable of. That's it. The goal is getting them into our mind to where we're working around the clock to make them happen.
Gene, I'm going to pitch this to you in the same, you know, maybe capitalize on what Coit was talking about goal setting and how you guys integrate it with the wrestling mindset. And I want to, before I get there, I want to just to kind of explain right now on my office, I have a big dry erase board, and this has nothing to do with wrestling or my business, but it has my wife and I, it has our goals to get our budget in check. It has our goals for our renovations for our house. We look at these things every day, and you know, every time we've got a pay cycle comes through, all right, we're marking down, because I've got student loans, man. I spent 7 years in college. I'm still trying to get these things down. Coit, I think with the doctorate, you're kind of with me there. But, you know, writing those goals down. And Gene, we talked about the studies and whatnot. What are some things that you've seen that Coit does well and some things that you guys do well that maybe not that transcends wrestling that is still basically the same thing with goal setting?
Yeah, sure. Well, how much time you got?
as long as we need.
First thing with goal setting, we talk to a lot of coaches about bringing in our wrestling mindset program. We work with some of the top teams in the country, and we talk to the coaches about mindset training. And a lot of the coaches, they say, "Yeah, we already do that. We do goal setting with our team." And the reality is, no, they don't. They really don't do mindset training with the team. They write their goals down once or twice, and they call that mindset training. And that's very, very far from what we're talking about, as you're going to see. So the first thing you have to understand with goals, I like to use the word behave, okay? The word behave. If you break that word up, the word is be, and the word have is in there. You have to remember the be comes before the have. So you have to focus on the kind of person you have to be in order to have the goals that you want to have. Okay, that makes sense that you focus on the person you have to be in order to accomplish those goals. Most people just focus on what they want to have. So how does that work in a practical sense? Like we said, it all comes down, mindset training is writing things down and doing it with a purpose. So you break it down into outcome goals and process goals. Outcome goals are things we don't have direct control over. They're the outcomes we want to attain, whether it be to be a national champ, to graduate from a certain college, to get a certain degree, to make a certain amount of money. That's our outcome goals. And then our process goals, that should be your predominant focus throughout your life. The person that you have to be on a daily basis, day in and day out. So that gets broken down even further, of course. You look at long outcome goals, gets broken down into long-term goals and short-term goals. So long-term, what are you trying to accomplish in the long-term of your wrestling career, long-term of your academic career? You got to know what that is. So next, you know, and with that whole thing, we've heard the quote many times, if people aren't laughing at your goal, you're not setting them high enough. So make sure you're setting high goals. And Donald Trump, he always said, if you're going to think it off, you might as well. Now, whether or not you want him to be president or not, that's not really the point here. The bottom line is the guy's a big thinker, and that's why he's successful. So we got to learn from these big thinkers. And he says, if you're going to think it all, might as well think big. So writing down your long-term goal, that's key. Then your short-term goals, and that could be broken down further. What do you want to accomplish by the time the season starts? What do you want to accomplish by the time the season ends? What are you going to accomplish within 2 years? And when you look at your short-term goals, you want to think about the word CARS, C-A-R-S. They have to be challenging, attainable, realistic, and specific. That's short-term goals. And that gets broken down further into goals that you can accomplish as far as, you know, a tournament you might want to win, that first tournament of the year, maybe the wrestle-off. And then also, the little things that you can control, like I want to work on my setups. I want to have a really good setup for my sweep single leg by November. So that gets broken down further, and it's all got to be written down on paper. That's exactly what we do with our worksheets, okay? So a wrestler would go through these things with their mindset coach and have this stuff all written down. We have this in a nice organized format.
after the outcome goals, like we said, you have your process goals. That's your action plan. That's your focus on a day-to-day basis. When you're writing an action plan, there's got to be numbers. It's almost like a math thing. So you need to know how many days a week you're, you know, the intensity, the frequency, the duration. How often are you doing this? How long are you doing this? Okay, so this gets broken down, your action plan, into the many different dimensions of wrestling. The mental side of the sport, the technical part of the sport, strength, conditioning, nutrition, plyometrics, your explosive power. A lot of wrestlers don't even focus on that. That's all built into our program. You're making sure you focus on that explosive power. You know, you look at a wrestler like Jordan Burroughs or Nashawn Garrett, you just chalk it up, a lot of wrestlers, to saying, well, they're just freak athletes. Well, you also see Jordan Burroughs and Nashawn Garrett doing a lot of explosive power, a lot of plyometrics like the Soviets used to do. Flexibility, that's another area of the sport. Most wrestlers never write it down. They never think about it. So that's got to be built into your action plan. And your R&R, your rest and recovery. Again, another thing the Soviets were huge on is making sure they get proper rest and recovery, you know, whether it's a self-massage, a sauna, not just to cut weight, but a sauna for recovery. Most wrestlers don't build that in. How are they taking a mental break throughout the sport, especially during the season? You got to prioritize having some time for rest and recovery. That's all part of the process goals and your action plan. The problem with most wrestlers, they focus too much on the outcome goal. And what happens is you put way too much pressure on yourself. The only time you go back to your outcome goal is really when you're tired, bored, or lazy. You know, you're running that last sprint in practice, you're dead tired. You run, you know, you remind yourself, national champ. But throughout the day, you don't have to necessarily remind yourself of what your outcome goals are, only what you have to do on a day-to-day basis. So that's what you need the long-term goal for. And also knowing your purpose. That's another key thing. A lot of wrestlers say, I want to be a national champ. Why? Why do you want to accomplish your goal? You know, people say they want to make $1 million. Why? You have to know your purpose. The most successful people have a purpose. They're trying to glorify God in their work. They're trying to, you know, represent their family well, pay their family back for all the good they've done, and, you know, lead a good example for other people. That's purpose. And then the final thing I'll talk about is you need to copy what other successful people do. All right? Always study the best people in the world. I tell our wrestlers, our coaches, and our teams time and time again, don't just do this stuff because Gene Zanetti's saying it. I'm taking stuff from the best people in the world. So if they're doing it, that's why you should do it, not because I'm telling you. Kyle Dake wrote down his goal every day. We strongly recommend all of our wrestlers post their goal 5 places that they're going to be in frequently. Maybe their kitchen, their locker, in their bedroom, on their mirror, in their car, on your notebook. Post your goal down several places. And the reason why is because that activates, when you see the written word of your goal, that activates the left side of your brain, which is more analytical and logical. Now, you also have to work the right side of your brain, which is more emotional and feeling. And that's why Chael Sanderson, he makes all the Penn State wrestlers draw a picture of themselves accomplishing their goal. When you look at a picture, that activates a different part of your mind. That's your right brain that gets the feelings and the emotions going. So when you have the picture and the written word, now you're working your full brain. And finally, well, two more things. Making it public, very important. Jordan Burroughs, Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Kyle Dick, David Taylor, countless examples of top athletes who made their goal public before they accomplished it. So posting it on social media, telling your friends about it, telling your family, hey, I'm going to win a state title this year. And it's not about other people. It's not doing this to be cocky or arrogant, but you're taking a stand for yourself, and it takes a lot of mental toughness and confidence to state your goal, say what you're going to accomplish. I mean, and a lot of wrestlers, they'll say their goal, they'll look down, they'll kind of smile and laugh. Why would you laugh at that? If that's what you're truly dedicated to, and that's what you're really working towards, you should have no problem looking someone dead in the eye, not smiling at all, and say, I'm going to be a state champ. So make your goal public. And then finally, carry your goal around with you, whether you put it in your wallet, wear some kind of wristband, something that reminds you of your goal. And Jim Carrey did this. He wrote himself out a check for $5 million before he was a big-time actor. Carried it around in his wallet every day, and he made the check, the date on the check, in 5 years. And in 5 years' time, he signed a contract with Dumb and Dumber, and he found out he was going to be making $10 million. So success leaves clues. You got to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and other people who have done it. That's going to give you more confidence. So
that's a you know rundown a little bit of what kind of worksheets and what kind of activities our wrestlers would be doing. As you see, it's very active. It's far from the passive process. And again, it's wrestling, school, and life. That's three different areas you're going through all of those worksheets with. So it's a lot of writing and it's a lot of planning. And most coaches, when they say they do goal setting, it's just nowhere near as thorough as that, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking if that was an elevator speech, we would have to have been on the 100th floor of the Empire State Building, stopping on every floor on the way back. Gene, good stuff there. Dennis, I want to circle back and talk a little bit about what Gene had said. And, you know, how when you were setting your goal to be a national champion, to win the World Team Trials, to make a world team, to be a world champion, you know, how often did you write down your goals? And how often did, you know, you talked about, actually, Gene talked about the outcome and then the long-term deals. What was your, basically, chart to write these goals down and work to attain them when you were winning a world championship?
Same thing. You got your action steps that force you into working hard every day. You have, I had my goals written down in my locker. I had it in my bedroom right where my alarm clock was, so I'd see it every day when I went to bed or when I got up in the morning. So if something didn't get done, I had to get up and do it. You know, I think the big thing is you have to do all the things that he talked about, because if you ain't writing them down or you ain't setting little goals to help you reach your long-term goals, you're just stuck. So I think there's a lot of steps to it, and that's why people don't do it, because it's work. It's just like doing the mental work instead of doing the physical work when you're getting ready to compete.
Yeah, this past weekend I was up in New York at the Journeyman Classic by Frank Popolizio, his tournament, and a cell phone was turned in to the announcer's table, and I hit the button to see if I could, you know, call myself and find out whose phone it was, but they had a lock screen on it, and obviously, because that's smart, you don't want to just leave your phone unlocked anywhere, but I looked at it, and I hit the button, and there was an inspirational quote. This kid was sitting there, and there was some coarse language. It basically sounded like something a wrestling coach had told him, and he had that on his lock screen. That was his quote. That's where he says it. And even with the digital age, yeah, you write it down. You know, Gene talked about putting it in your car, your locker, whatever. Dennis talked about putting your goals on your alarm clock. This kid, and in the age we have today, everybody's got a smartphone. There, boom, there's your lock screen. That's a great lesson for, you know, every time that kid has to make a phone call, he hits the button to unlock his phone, and boom, there's that quote reminding him. So that was something that I just saw recently that goes with what you were saying. And now, Dennis, I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, your experience with the youth club and whatnot. How do you explain to your young wrestlers about goal setting? What are some things that, you know, obviously every kid walks around wants to be a state champion, but the kid that's not ready to be a state champion yet, how do you set those incremental goals? So maybe year two, or maybe your long-term goal is a state champ in year two, year three, but year one, what are you telling these kids to do with their goals?
What I do is I tell them every day they got to be pushing themselves. I think it's not about where you start, it's where you want to finish. And every day they come into the room, they got to know they're getting better. And for me, it's having them focus on the process, not where they want to be. It's, okay, today were you able to get that double leg takedown? Were you able to are you challenging yourself by picking guys that are better than you? And I think a lot of times the kids don't think of that. They think, okay, if I come into the room and do what coach tells me, I'm going to get better. I think part of it is focus for kids, being able to have them in the room and all they think about is wrestling for an hour and a half. And that's tricky as a coach, trying to keep the kids that focus. I know I got a couple of high school kids that I work out with quite a bit. They're always placing at the Greco Nationals out in Fargo, but they ain't getting over the hump and winning consistently. And I tell them, I said, it comes from when you're coming into the restroom, I see you, you know, joking around and not preparing your mind for what you're going to go through in the next hour and a half. And I think trying to get the kids focused for the practice is a huge thing, because that's ultimately what's going to determine if they achieve their goal or if they don't achieve it. So it's a little bit different, but I'm always working a mental part of the sport with these kids, because if the mind is strong, the body will do what the mind tells it. And I think a lot of times as youth coaches, we cram technique down their throat so much that we don't work on the mental part.
Now, all of those things, the goal setting, that all leads to trying to live a championship lifestyle. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Coit, you know, we brought up your cadet title back in, that was a while ago. But, you know, that season, you look at it, that was a championship lifestyle. How did those goals go into building a championship lifestyle? Because I guess even though my competitive career was pretty crappy, you know, I'm looking at things differently as far as in the workplace. And my wife has a championship lifestyle that she tries to do at work with goal setting and whatnot. So when you've set your goals and you've gone out to accomplish those goals, that leads to the championship lifestyle. What are some things that you recall about that season? And even, you know, when you were an All-American at Indiana, that made your goals turn into a championship lifestyle?
Well, I think, you know, you touch on it, something that Gene said, and I think at the core of what you're doing is a strong why. You know exactly why you're going after the goals that you want to go with. And for me at that time, you know, I just really, you know, had the goal of doing this. I wanted to be able to perform at my peak level. It was, you know, that was strong for me. And when it's strong, I mean, it's not hard to get up in the morning. You know, when your goals and your dreams and your vision are really clear, and sometimes you have to work for that, but when they're clear, you know, it will dictate your lifestyle. And I think that was a time where it dictated my lifestyle, you know, where I was getting up in the morning and I was seeing my goals. And I was going into practice, like Dennis said, and I was prepared for practice. I knew why I was going to practice. I was going to practice because I was ready to win a national championship. And I think when that happens, it will dictate how you're spending your time, you know, from an entertainment standpoint, where you're not going to be wasting your time on TV. You're going to be spending your time training. I mean, it will dictate the way you're eating. And that's something that I think is challenging in itself. I think it's potentially even more challenging now, you know, with the way you've talked a lot about technology. And I love technology, but I think it's also a massive distraction. You know, I work with college students and athletes on a regular basis. And the one thing that technology can be is it can pull you in so many different directions. What I found is younger generations like that, it's harder to keep their attention span. And I think that's something that younger athletes need to be aware of. It's awesome to be able to use technology, but if you want to live a championship lifestyle, you can't let that dictate what you're doing. You know, you have to have a clear vision. You know, like what Dennis was saying, you've got to know your action items on a daily basis and be willing to do those things. That's one of the hardest things. You know your intentions, but a championship lifestyle means that you do them even when you don't feel like it. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. If you have goals and dreams that you want to achieve in those times, those are the exact times that you need to follow through. And I love the term in marketing, differentiation. That's when you differentiate yourself. The championship lifestyle is doing it all the time and being remarkably consistent at following through on your intentions. And when you do that really well, I know for a fact that most people won't do that. And that's something I think Dennis referred to. So championship lifestyle is knowing your goals, revisiting them on a daily basis, knowing the action items that will allow you to close the gap, and blocking out all these distractions and flat out just doing it every single day. And when that happens, when you do that enough, it's not luck. You will start to build momentum. You will get better at what you do. Your confidence will soar. You know, your clarity and your vision will become clearer, and you'll start to close the gap. And you can't be guaranteed that you will be a national championship, but you can be guaranteed that you're gonna start performing at your highest level. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, Gene, I want to capitalize again on that point, too, because, you know, obviously Dennis has got a world championship. Coit won a Fargo title. And you know, I'm not taking a dig at you and your brother's careers at Penn, but, you know, championship lifestyle doesn't necessarily always mean winning a championship. We're talking in the constructs of wrestling, but winning a championship doesn't necessarily is not the end all for a championship lifestyle.
Right. It's absolutely true. And when you look at it at its greatest level, you know, we talk about being successful. The real thing we should be shooting for is fruitful, that we're glorifying God in everything we're doing, and we're living the right kind of lifestyle. And yes, that also comes, you know, success becomes a part of that when we're doing these little things every day, builds on one another, and you wind up achieving a lot of great things too. And something that both Dennis and Coit said. It's true. Like, I want to piggyback on that, that, you know, the real enemy is emotions, feelings, right? It's the feelings that gets in the way. I don't, you know, we don't feel like doing it, and the emotions are often blocking us. There's a way to get the emotions and the feelings on our side, and it's just like what we've said here about focusing on the purpose. You know, Dave Schultz, before he won an Olympic title, if you watch his interview, he said, you know, win or lose, he was like, what I want to do is give everything I have on the mat. He said, I want to give glory to God in my career. I want to score as many points as I possibly can. You know, I want to hit as many moves as I can. He had that reason greater than reality. In the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he talks about that. He said, if you just want to be rich for the money, if you want to be successful for the money, you're not going to do it, because the money's not a strong enough motivator. You've got to want to change the world. You've got to want to make things better. You've got to want to make people better. And when you have that, when you go back to that purpose, like Coit said, the emotions naturally follow, right? Because there's days where, you know, you don't feel like doing it. And it's true. But if you're thinking about that vision, Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about it too. He knew exactly what he wanted his body to look like. And that's what fuels you. And going along with what you said about technology, you know, another great example I could think of, Anthony Ashnault. He's on his phone every day, I think at 4 o'clock, it comes up, you know, NCAA champ, Olympic champ. You know, and he's an All-American as a freshman. There's many people who their goal pops up on their phone every day. So they're just capitalizing on all these little things that we can do to give ourselves the edge. But we have to remember, and on our spiritual strength call on Monday night, when we do that every Monday night at 9 o'clock Central Time, we talked about it, that spirit, mind, and body have to be in order. Okay, the spirit is the foundation of the pyramid, then the mind, then the body. And the body, you could look at emotions also. Emotions are not going to help you unless they're submissive to the mind, the rational thinking. And the mind isn't going to help you unless it's submissive to the spirit. So that purpose is the foundation of everything. You know, mathematically, a pyramid could only be as high as its base. So if you don't have that wide base, that spirit, that purpose, you can only achieve a certain altitude.
I want to shift gears a little bit, and while we still talk about the championship lifestyle, I want to go back to Dennis on this, because you're a guy that didn't lose a whole lot in your career. I mean, in Greco-Roman, you were the man. So obviously, you've got a world title to pretty much validate that claim. But when you're building these goals and you're moving toward these goals and you're living that championship lifestyle, there's always going to be setbacks. And Dennis, you know, for example, take the Olympic final. You know, obviously that was a setback. Your goal's Olympic champion. How did you readjust? And you know, kind of refocus yourself after you take a tough loss like that, and try to still maintain that championship lifestyle, even though that long term goal eluded you.
You know, that's the toughest part. You try to go back to the drawing board, you look at what cost you. Part of it for me, during that Olympic final match, I'm in my own country. I'm going for Olympic medal, and I go down first. You know, it comes down to controlling emotions. And when I got that first passivity on me instead of on him, there was 1 second where I was pissed at the referee, to be honest. I mean, every time I've been overseas, if a guy's going for a medal in his home country, the other guy always went down first. Well, the rules just changed. And, you know, I defended pretty well. I don't think he scored the 4 points that they gave him. I mean, even the commentators on the TV drew a line where my back was and said I never exposed, but he got the 4 points, and it was a hole I couldn't dig out of. And so for me, I think the biggest thing is learn how to control your emotions, because if I would have had a little bit better mindset when I went down in parterre, maybe he doesn't even get my feet up off the ground and he doesn't get his throw and I end up winning the match, you know? So a lot of it comes back to just checking where you failed. You know, everybody's going to fail, and you have to look at it and you have to ask yourself at that point, what happened? What was I thinking? How can I improve for the future? And anytime you get beat or you have a disappointment, those are questions you got to ask. They suck asking them, But at the same time, you're never going to get to be your best if you don't.
Yeah, and Coit, I want to go back to your career at Indiana. Obviously, it wasn't something. I mean, so you win Fargo, you expect your name gets out there. You're a highly sought after recruit. You're at a Big Ten school, and the All American honors didn't just come pouring in right away. And how did you reset after each season, knowing that all right, that goal of being an All American and national champion, I did not hit that. How did you reset and try to re-engage your championship lifestyle?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you that I did an amazing job of it, but I want to be completely honest because I know that athletes go through this, but I did every year after every year is I dwelled on it for too long. I would spend, probably a month or 2 months being disappointed about it. I wanted to be away from the wrestling mat. I had the wrong mindset looking back on it now. And what I'd rather say is if I was going to live the championship lifestyle exactly the right way, if I could go back and do it again, when I got done with the season, I would have, the term fail forward. I would have let that go quicker. I would have evaluated my season to say, where did I fall short? What did I not do right? And I would have used those 2 months in the summer, 3 months in the summer to evaluate and get better. And I'm not saying I didn't do anything, but I tended to hold on to those things. And there's a book by Carol Dweck called Mindset. And it's about, kind of a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. When I was in high school, I had a growth mindset. I went out to every tournament that I wrestled in, and it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to be better, to perform at my peak levels. That's the way I saw it. I mean, I even had fun doing it. When I got into college, I for whatever reason, shifted my mindset where I was more probably at times scared of losing. And what I know now is that when you're scared of losing, you cannot wrestle to your full potential. You cannot live to your full potential. And that's what made me dwell in the off seasons. And so the thing I would say is championship mindset is you never want to lose. You go in and to perform at your peak level. You just let go. You do the best you can to do that. And then on the back end, you learn to let those things go quickly. You learn from your mistakes. And that's the thing, you've heard it on this call, but the most successful people in the world are not people that don't fail. They're the people that set these monster aspirations. They go out, they pursue them, they fall short, and they learn from them quickly. And what ends up happening, even a guy like Michael Jordan, he missed more shots than other people, but he learned from it. He got better mentally. He always saw it as an opportunity to grow. And as a result, he became the best player in the world. So I've used my college, which was not what I wanted to be, but it was a good career. But now I've learned those instances where I had the wrong mindset. Every single day when I get to talk to an audience, it's an opportunity. I'm excited about it. I want to change lives. I've just shifted my mindset. And I think now I have the championship mindset right. I think I didn't quite have that right in college, to be honest, Jason.
Yeah, and I think it was another Michael Jordan quote that I believe it's attributed to him. It says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, and he's got the other one where you miss 10,000 shots, but that's why you were able to hit the game-winning shot. So, I mean, it's absolutely true, but you can't possibly capitalize on those opportunities if your mindset's wrong. If you're always dwelling on them, worried about what other people think about you and your losses, you'll never see the opportunity and the lesson in the moment. And that's what I try to do now. I goof up in the talk, no big deal. I'm going to get it right because I want to do this. I want to talk across the world. I want to impact lives. And then that's one more thing I would say right now is learning to shift your mindset to love being uncomfortable. Like, I love being uncomfortable. And I know that sounds insane, and I didn't have this at first. But now when I'm pursuing things, like, I try to put myself in situations to be uncomfortable. When I'm giving a presentation, I try to be more goofy. I try to, tell a story that I wouldn't have and be more animated. Like, I constantly try to live outside my comfort zone. And I don't think that's something that most people do. And I'm not talking about just running sprints. I'm talking about, okay, I don't like watching film because I don't like seeing myself. Do it anyways. If that makes you uncomfortable, jump into that because that's the area where you can grow the most. So I just think you have to be able to shift that mindset that way.
Yeah, I want to throw a little anecdote, too. Obviously, this is not about wrestling. It's wrestling related, but it's with my own experiences in life. And, a lot of people know that I've been covering wrestling for about 20 years. I was with the NWCA and ran Intermat until 2008. And then when I moved out here to Minnesota the first time to work with Jay Robinson in the Wrestling 411 thing, I was cocky. I was arrogant. I thought I was, the hottest thing in since sliced bread. I mean, I thought, yeah, people are here to see me, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Reality check. It didn't happen. The project ran out of money, and that humbled me a bit. It made me readjust my you know, I didn't know what the championship lifestyle was then. And, you know, as I look back on it, I can see where that point adjusted. And then I went to work for USA Wrestling. And, you know, my life has changed since that humbling experience. I would chalk that up to be wrestling equivalents as losing in the Nationals, whereas, you know, the TV show would have been, that was my Nationals. That's where I wanted to be. Well, guess what? That's not what happened. You know, the long-term goal there, you know, kind of pivoted a little bit. But then I also think about when my wife was dropping me off at the airport before I was flying to Las Vegas to announce the world championships. And I'd been a PA announcer since I was 14 years old. And, you know, I mean, let's take this out of wrestling thing. It's like getting that big break in business, and you're worried about, you know, I got butterflies in my stomach. And even to this day, before I start a tournament, I get those butterflies, even though I'm probably the most insignificant guy in the building. You know, I'm just got a microphone. So I'm getting there to get butterflies. My wife's like, what's wrong? It's like, I'm nervous. It's like, you know, well, what's the deal? It's like, I have to change my thinking to not screw up, to do a good job. And that's how I went into the world championships. And yeah, quite like you were saying, I made a couple flubs throughout the course of the week. I didn't draw attention to them. I just moved on. And, you know, that's an uncomfortable situation being the voice that, you know, thousands of people in a venue will hear. It's kind of like, I don't think it's the same as being the wrestler wrestling in the world finals by any stretch of the imagination. But to me, that, you know, my goals as an announcer and a broadcaster and a journalist are obviously different than an athlete, but I think the mindset there is I went in not trying to not screw up. I went in trying to do a good job, and yes, screw ups happen. So that's just a little something I learned getting a gut check about 6 years ago when I thought this company that I was working with, Wrestling 411, was going to be the next big thing. And the reality was I was taking a loss. That was taking a loss. And that really refocused my goals. And I write down, I'm in this notebook right now. I buy like five or six single subject spiral bound college notebooks probably every couple months, and they are filled. I mean, my closet is filled with just notes that I've written down over the years. I'll probably, you know, and if you look through this particular book, this is what we were talking about, writing goals earlier. I've got the same goals written down probably 15 different times in this book. And it's, you know, right now it's about my business. And I think everybody can do the same thing with their business in life. It's not just about wrestling. So I've written down how many shows I want to put out. I've sketched out my schedule. I've sketched out how I want to do things. So these are just these little goals. My long-term goal is to promote the sport of wrestling. And I think that's what we're doing here. But that's just a little anecdote I have, you know, a little tangent about some of my personal experiences when it deals with business and as it ties into wrestling, because, you know, I'm getting to announce, you know, events, and, you know, right before the Midlands finals, I get nervous. But, you know, like you said, you got to be uncomfortable. And I've been uncomfortable in almost every position I've ever been behind a microphone, including right before we started this show. So good stuff there, Coit. I want to circle back now to our closing comments. Dennis, I'm going to lead off with you. Obviously, you've set goals. You've lived that championship lifestyle. You've got a world medal. And now you're in a situation where you're giving back, coaching kids. What are just some general takeaways? If there's one big point that you want to say about goal setting and living a championship lifestyle, what's the big preaching point that you have for your kids, your athletes, and your parents?
You know, for me, it's everybody's going to fail. You know what? There's only one guy that's going to get his hand raised. So don't worry about failing. Don't worry about it. What's going to happen is going to happen, and God's got you where he wants you. So just go out there and perform to the best of your ability and try and represent God as good as you can.
Gene, let's go with you. Same question.
I think the big thing is just understanding that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And everything that we talked about here is exactly what we cover in our mindset program. What you just said about, what Coit just said about stepping outside of his comfort zone. We have a worksheet structured literally for that, a 30-day challenge. Every day they do something. They put it down on paper, something to push themselves past their threshold. So the big thing is capitalizing, and we have the resources, and it's all dedicated specifically to wrestling. It's all made specifically for the sport of wrestling. So if you want to live this championship mindset, we're gonna help you do it. And, you know, just I get super pumped when I'm on calls with you guys. Jason, do great stuff. Unbelievable for the sport of wrestling. Dennis, I have two wrestlers from Wisconsin, the Drexler boys. They come to your place,
yeah.
And they say
they say
great things about you, and great stuff about your attitude, your technique. The family loves you. And Coit, Jeff and I look at your stuff every day on Instagram and Facebook, and trust me, we're learning from you too. So anytime I get on these calls, I start rambling on because I love being on this type of stuff. You guys are great.
Yeah, and Gene, before we let you go, where can we find Wrestling Mindset and social media and websites, and where can they find more about your programs?
Yeah, best thing to do is just take a look at our website, WrestlingMindset.com, and sign up for a free trial session, see what it's all about.
And Coy, we'll close with you.
Yeah, man. The one thing I would say is, you take a look at research and it says that only 13% of people actually have something they're passionate about in their life. And to me, that's crazy. Whether it's specifically wrestling related or non-wrestling related, when it comes to the wrestling audience, I say pursue your passion. Life is way too short just to just live an average life. I tell people, don't settle for the status quo. I mean, get out and pursue the things that you're really passionate about. Chase them down every single day. And just leave it all out there and have a blast. That's the one thing I think when you think in wrestling is it can't be fun. Yeah, it can be fun. Make it fun. Love the competition. Love pursuing to your full potential. And the last thing I would say is this. We're talking about wrestling, but I'm so passionate about this. Wrestling is such a tough sport. Like, so many lessons you learn from it. And it bothers me when it doesn't carry over to other areas of life. Our wrestlers should be going out and not only achieving at a high level like Dennis did, but I mean, you should be going out and achieving amazing things in life. Like, when you get done in college, if you're not going on, then reset. You don't not write down a goal the rest of your life. You reset. You set lofty goals, the ones that make you a little bit scared, take you out of your comfort zone, and you take those wrestling skills and you pursue them every single day of your life, and you just perform to the best you possibly can. And if you do, you'll live a really great life. And it'll make wrestling better. It'll grow it. And then just thank you all to all of you. I mean, same thing. I've learned from all of you. I watched Dennis wrestling when I'm growing up, and just amazing and a serious competitor. The Zanetti brothers are amazing, awesome energy. You constantly grow in the sport. Jason, you as well, man. You're doing some amazing things. And even this was a blast. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
And before we let you go, Coit, plug for your website, your book, all that stuff.
Yeah, you can find most of it. If you want to buy the book, you can go on Amazon and search Coit Cooper Impressions, and you can go to the site, coitcooper.com, COYTECOOPER, and you can get personal development resources on there and just, things to help you elevate your life.
So for Dennis Hall, Gene Zanetti, and Coit Cooper, this is Jason Bryant. You've been listening to episode 21 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Check out all the shows at worldwrestlingresource.com. Click on the podcast tab. You can also search World Wrestling Resource in iTunes. You like the show, leave a rating and review. We'll see you next time.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.